If we look like in Luke 1:41, it says that when Mary was pregnant with, I'm not going to tell you his name but yet, we're going for this. She went to see Elizabeth, and she was pregnant with John the Baptist. And when they came together, it says that the baby, John the Baptist, leaped in Elizabeth's womb. If you look at the old Hebrew version, it is leap for joy, because John the Baptist knew who was coming. If you look in Luke 2:10, and the angels come to the shepherds, it says, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy for all the world." If you look in Matthew 2:10, you'll see with the Magi, the three kings, when they found the star, it says that they were overjoyed because they knew who it was going to lead to. And then you look in Luke 24:51. I had to look that one up. 24:51. But it's after the ascension. And it says the disciples went back into Jerusalem worshiping him with great joy. So, if the ending is the beginning, who is that person that this joy is going to come from? Who are we talking about this morning? Jesus Christ. The youth always go, if you ask them a question in church or something like that, they'll go, Jesus. It doesn't matter what the question is, because Jesus is always the answer, right? So, Jesus, yes, I don't know. I don't know who he was. That's one of those hard names in the Old Testament. So, Jesus. So, when we look at it from that point of view, Jesus is the answer. He really is. So, we're going to, our main verse is going to be 1 Peter. It's in the Pew Bible 857. But it's going to be 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8-9. So, when we're talking about joy, if you look at the secular world, they'll mix in happiness and joy together. They'll say it's the same thing. But that's because they don't know Jesus Christ. Because happiness and joy, if you're looking at joy from a biblical point of view, it is different than happiness. So we're going to go over that today. We're going to go over how it's not the same as sadness. We're going to go over what joy really means. And then how, I know everybody's wanting to know this answer, how do we get that joy? So let's look. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and thank you for the opportunity to be in this house. We ask that you would just lead, guide, and direct, that something be read from thy word would bring someone closer to thee, for that is our soul's desire. And we ask all of us to bless the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't y'all love that when it says inexpressible and glorious joy? Don't y'all want that joy? Inexpressible and glorious, unspeakable joy. Isn't that something that you want in your life? I tell you, I want it. And I want it now. I don't want to have to wait. Because the Bible does tell us that when we die and we go to heaven, we will have an unending joy that nobody will be able to take away from us. But it also tells us we can have it here while we're on this earth. Right? So, first thing I want to point out to you is, well, I said a little bit ago, happiness is not the same thing as joy. It's not the same thing. You look at it from this point of view, joy is in the soul. Happiness is in the moment. Happiness depends on external factors. It depends, I did some research, reading about happiness, and I tell you what, it kind of made me depressed, reading about happiness. Has that ever happened to y'all? Because all the things they say that you need to do to make you happy, I'm like, goodness gracious, I'm not doing those things. What's going on here? But it was interesting because they said that 60%, this is one of the studies, 60% of your happiness is beyond your control because it's either external factors or your genetics. There's nothing you can do about it, right? They said 40%, yeah, you can influence your happiness. So they took a survey of people and said, what is your top 10 things that make you happy? Well, surprising to me. Some of them were really surprising because religion came in number 7. And that's not the belief in Jesus Christ. That's just religion as a whole. You know, believing in something larger than yourself, believing in a being, a divine being, not necessarily our God, but believing in somebody. Religion was number 7. But it did beat out TV. It came in number 10. TV, watching TV, coming at number 10 is making people happy. But number one was family and relationships. They did not take that survey right after Thanksgiving. No way, brothers and sisters. Because happiness is in the moment, and it can come and go. Now, I'll give you a perfect example. I had this happen to me twice in my life. A very pregnant Jonna and I went to the hospital. We came home with a baby. Happy days, boy, happy days. I'm telling you what, when we were there, I was in the delivery room. I got to hold both my little boys. I got to rock them in a rocking chair. Oh, it was happy days, man. I was so excited. It was happy, happy days. And then they did the weirdest thing. They said, y'all can go home and you can take the kid with you. And we was like, wow, happy days. So we put them in the car with the car seat facing the back, where it has all the about 5 or 6 different hookups and things like that, little bumpers. It had a neck brace. It had a little mobile around the top of it. It was the Cadillac of car seats, people. I mean, it was happy days. We got home. We carried our little bundle of joy in. Went to the nursery. We put them into the crib. Oh, my God, happy days. Fast forward a couple weeks. Yeah. Very little sleep. 10,000 diapers. I'm telling you, people. 2 weeks, 10,000 diapers. Yeah, happy days. Happy days. Forward 2 or 3 months from there, after about 1 million diapers at that time, still no sleep, and you've been puked on and peed on more than once. Happy days. Real happy days. But all through that, I had joy, because I could look at the face of my little baby boy, you know? Yeah. And I would have joy because, you know, this is our baby. This is ours, right? And that joy transcended the no sleep, the diapers, the smell. Oh, my goodness, the smell. It transcended all those things, right? Because it was joy. The happiness comes and goes. It is in the moment. So joy is not the same thing as happiness, because joy transcends the moment. It actually helps you through the moment. It helps you through the struggles. It helps you to the other side. It helps you get to where you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. It does not come and go like happiness does. Another thing, joy is not the opposite of sadness. You think, well, if I'm sad, then I'm not joyous. It's not the opposite of joy. Sadness is like happiness, that it is in the moment. Picture an ice cream parlor. Open the door, and here comes out this little kid with an ice cream, a big old scoop of mint chocolate chip ice cream on top of that thing, and he's walking. Are y'all picturing this? Y'all seeing it, right? Y'all see what's about to happen, right? Because we're talking about sadness here, people. He puts it up to his lips, and what happens? It falls off the cone onto the ground. And you being the excellent parent that you are, for a split second, you think, I could pick that up and put it back on the cone. Everything would be great, right? But no, 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 no. You're thinking, I'll tell you what, my child is sad, and I know he's sad because he's vocally expressing his sadness over his ice cream cone. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go ahead and buy him another one, right? This time I'm going to put it in a cup, but still, I'm going to buy him another one. And guess what happens to that sad little kid? He becomes happy once again. It didn't take a lot, did it? So sadness is not the opposite of joy, because it is in the moment also. We look at James chapter 1, verse 2. James says this, consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations. Isn't that a strange thing to say? Consider it pure joy that you're going through all this stuff? And it doesn't get better when you start reading Paul, you start reading Peter, you start reading any of the New Testament, every one of them says the same thing. Consider it, like in Romans 5, Paul says, consider it joy that you go through tribulation, because tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And who do we have our hope in? Nobody else but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're looking at it from that point of view. So if it's not sadness, then what is the opposite of joy? Hopelessness. Hopelessness. Think about it for just a second. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't know hope, you don't know Him, then you don't have that. You don't have that joy. You have hopelessness. You ever talk to an atheist Or you ever talk to someone in a different religion where they have to work their way to heaven, and all they can say is, I've got to do this. I've got to work. I've got to do this. I've got to do this to work my way into heaven. There's no guarantee, right? If you talk to an atheist, they don't have the hope that we have. They don't have that joy. Now, we're not talking about happiness when we're talking about joy. They don't have that joy because they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't even think he exists. So when you look at it from that point of view, hopelessness is the opposite of joy. Because when you fall into that hopelessness, there can be no joy. You are on your own. There is no hope but for what you have on this earth. And I just cannot understand that, people. If this is the best it gets, now I have a great life. I have a great family. I've been blessed beyond what I deserve. But still, if this is all there is, wow. You know, I feel sorry. I feel sorry for them because they don't know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. They never experienced that joy that transcends all. So the opposite of joy is hopelessness. And we don't want to be in that. So also, when you look at it from this point of view, you're saying, well, how come I'm not joyous all the time? Well, it goes into things. It's not what is in your life that takes away the joy. It's not the things that affect your life that takes away joy. It's what's in your life that takes away the joy, and it's called sin. Sin takes away the joy. Why is it sin that takes away the joy? Because sin cannot be in the presence of God. If it can't be in the presence of God and you got sin in your life, then you're separating yourself from Jesus Christ. You see how this works? So joy transcends all of this. When you're going through the hard times, joy is what helps you through it. It's not like happiness and sadness. Perfect example. You get up in the morning, and I tell you what, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, all is great in the world. You didn't hit the snooze button a single time, so you're up on time. You go in the bathroom, your clothes fit just right, your hair looks amazing, your teeth are pearly white, and you head out to the car. It cranks on the first time. That's always a good thing. It cranks. You turn on the radio, your favorite song is playing. You're humming down the road, and as you get into town, every traffic light is on green. You pull up to your business, and the front park is open with a door to the front to go in office, and you pull right in. You get out, you're humming a song. Nothing could be happier than the day that you're having. You walk through the door, and that person walks up to you, says two or three words, and phew, your happiness is gone. You see how fast it goes? You walk down the hall a little bit further, and your boss is standing there. And you, I know what you're thinking here, but you've been doing a good job. Be proud of yourself. You've been doing a real good job. You walk down the hall, and the boss says, man, you've been doing a great job. I'm going to give you a raise. Happy days again. You see how this goes? You get on an elevator, and it breaks down, and you're stuck on the third floor for 2.5 hours. Well, there goes your happiness again, right? So it's up and down, up and down. But when we serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is consistent. He's not wishy-washy. He's not fickle. The joy that he gives you is stable and secure and sure. It is us that get in the way. Now, when he's talking about this, he gives a perfect example. He says in John chapter 15, verse 11, he says, I tell you these things so that you may be filled with my joy and that your joy could be complete. Did y'all catch that? This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's saying, I tell you these things so you can be filled with my joy. Whose joy? God, Jesus. He's saying, you can be filled with my joy. Did y'all know that Jesus was a joyful person? Amen. I mean, seriously, he wasn't the kind of person that went around sulking all the time. If Pastor Ben over here was always frowning and griping and complaining, and every time you walked up to him, you go, man, Pastor, I got problems. Well, I don't want to hear it because I got problems myself, man. I mean, seriously, you know this, this, and this, and you crazy, well, not crazy, but you lovable people in this church are driving me crazy. Would you want to follow somebody like that? No, Jesus Christ was joyful. He went to a wedding and made wine out of water. That's pretty good right there, right? Also, Pharisees, they said that he was a drunkard and a glutton. Why would they say that? They was lying about it because he's not. But he did. He socialized. He went with people. People followed him. He had that certain quality. You know those people that you look at and they just make you happy when you look at them? don't they? They just make you happy. Saber, I'm looking at you, girl. Just make you, look at that smile. And see, they just make you happy. They have something, and it's called joy. They have joy. So he says, I tell you these things. So you have to look back to see what he was talking about. And in John 15, he's talking about the vine and the branches. That's the story, the parable he's telling them. So the vine and the branches, it's a very simple parable, but it has so much meaning behind it, because it points out the fact that we cannot separate, we can separate ourselves from the vine, but if we do, we do not prosper. When he's talking about the vine, see, I always liked this because my last name is Vines. You know, when I was growing up, I thought, hey, well, my last name's in the Bible. But it's not my last name. It's actually a vine is what he's talking about. So he says that I am the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine. My Father is the gardener, okay? And you are the branches. Now, he does this for a particular reason, because he's talking about, if you want to be filled with my joy, listen to what I say. So he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And the branches can do some things, right? They can have leaves, they can shed leaves, they can produce fruit, they can do all these things, but they cannot do it separate from the vine. The vine is the sustainer. The vine is Jesus Christ in our life. The vine is the stable part of this whole thing. So you look at the vine, and it goes down in the ground, and the roots are going out. It's taking in nutrients, taking in water and stuff like that. And even though the branches are out here doing stuff, it is the vine that sustains the branches. It's feeding them, right? It's going out to them. It's taking care of them. It's helping them. So he's using this illustration for you and I when he said he is the vine and we are the branches, and he wants to fill us up with his joy. What he's saying is, if you are with me, I am with you, and I will give you the joy that's in me, so your joy will be complete. Isn't that amazing? That God in heaven wants you to have joy while you're here on this earth. That's amazing to me. You know, we have so many people walking around that are so downcast. And don't get me wrong. There are hard times in life. There really are. And there's times that we are downcast. There's times we don't feel joyful and things like that. But as Christians, we should be different than the world. When we're going through hard times, the world should look at us and go, I want to be like them. Not, they are just like me. Because we have something that they don't have. So he's saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing, but with me, you will prosper. You will produce good fruit. But he's also saying that if you separate yourself from me, if the branch is cut away, then it's thrown away because it's no use. That's when we start talking about, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you know today that you're going to heaven, that you're saved, right? You can still separate yourself from Jesus Christ by the sin that's in your life. It's just the way it goes. Sin cannot be in the presence of God. So when we look at it from that point of view, the vine is everything. And without it, we're nothing. So we're looking at joy from the point of view that Jesus says, I want you to have my joy. The joy that transcends everything else. Like what 1 Peter talks about. And it's a glorious joy, an unspeakable joy. It's a joy that transcends whatever you're going through, whatever hardship, whatever trial, whatever burden, whatever happiness, whatever sadness, whatever is going on in your life. It transcends every one of those things, and it helps you through. People go through a lot of things in their life, and you'll talk to them, how did you make it through? With the help of God. You hear that a lot, don't you? God showed me through. God helped me. God was there for me. God comforted me while I was through there. It was the joy that Jesus Christ gives to you that helps you through, that will keep you sustained, that will keep you from falling under all the pressures and all the problems that are in your life. It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when you look at it from that point of view, if you want this joy in your life, the first thing you have to do is know Jesus Christ. How can you get the joy that he's offering if you don't know him? So the first thing you do is have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you look at 1 Peter, it says, even though you do not see him, you love him. Even though you do not see him right now, You believe in Him. And because you believe in Him, you have inexpressible and glorious joy for the receiving of the end result of your faith, which is the salvation of souls. So if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, how do you experience that joy? Then you accept Him. It says, you know, even though you can't see Him, even though He's not here right now, you have faith that He is who He says He is, that He is Lord and Savior, that He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. He was placed in a tomb. And on the third day, He arose. And now He sits at the right hand of the Father, paying your sin debt so that one day you too can stand face to face with God. So if you know that man named Jesus Christ, you know Him as that. The Bible tells us if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, thou shalt be saved. So you confess with your mouth that that is the Jesus Christ I believe in. I know I cannot save myself. I cannot pay for my own sin debt, but He's already paid for it. So I accept this gift of the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then it says you confess with your mouth. Why do you need to confess with your mouth? Because people, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, if the Holy Spirit's indwelling with you, you should be shouting it to the rooftops. Everybody should know that you're saved. Everybody should know that you found Jesus Christ. And we want to share that joy with you. It should not be a secret. It should be announced. And you should announce it regularly that I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So if you do all these things, He says, thou shalt be saved. So now you are connected. You're with Jesus Christ. He says, I shall not leave you, nor shall I forsake you. He is there. He's going to feed you. He's going to help you. But it's those sins in your life that get in the way. So what does Jesus say about this? He says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What's he talking about? Is he talking about the Ten Commandments? Yes, but even more. When he talks about the Ten Commandments, Jesus Christ, when it says the Ten Commandments shall not commit adultery, in the Bible, when Jesus Christ says, even if you lust after someone, you've already done that. You see what I'm talking about? He took it up a step. He said, if you keep my commandments, then you'll be with me and I will be with you and we will not be separated. My love will be in you, my joy will be in you, and we can go forward. And you say, well, what is his commandments? Well, there is a book called the Bible. And they're in there, people. We have one at the cave. It's Mark 12:30, and it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commandments sum up all of the commandments, right? Well, how many of us do that? So what we're talking about here today is if you want this joy in your life, first thing you have to know is Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Second thing you know, if He is Lord and Savior of your life, sin gets in the way. If it gets in the way, then that joy is going to get up. It's going to be moving away from you because it cannot be together. So if that sin is in your life, then you need to confess it to God. You don't have to come to Ben or to me or to any other pastor or anybody else. You need to confess it to God. Ask Him to forgive you of that sin. Repent of that sin. That means turn away from that sin and put it behind you and go forward. Right? Forgiveness was in the top 10. It was actually number 4. Gratitude was number 5. Volunteering was number 6. Does these things sound kind of familiar? Isn't that kind of what you read when Jesus is talking? So the secular world understands what can cause happiness, but they don't understand where the joy comes from. I've told you today, not from my words, but from the Word of God, where true joy comes from. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our relationship with Him. My question for you today is very simple. Do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you experience that joy?